Well, hello and welcome in to Riverbank Riches with Desmond Taylor. We're navigating financial wisdom. I'm Ben George, joined by Desmond Taylor, CLC Financial. How you doing, Desmond? First video, ready to kind of get launch this project and get this thing rolling?
Yeah, Ben, I'm glad to be here, ready to get these rolling out to people so they can start we can start this journey together.
We'll kick off things by talking about the business first, really focusing it on you and CLC Financial. So just take us back to kind of how this got started, how you got into the business in the first place, because you're a younger guy, a fresh face, and most financial planners aren't your age. So how did you get into this?
Ben, it's a really good question. You know, when you go out into the financial industry and you look at your advisors and you see the average age of them, they're usually older 50s, some of them getting into their 60s. And we really take a great pride here of having a ground up approach, even with when we're talking to our clients. You know, we want to build the foundation, and then even when we're starting, when we're looking at people to bring into the firm. So this is a family owned operation. CLC Financial is. It was started by my father about 50 years ago. No pressure to get into the financial planning world. But I always took an interest in it. I love following the market from a young age, even before I could start trading. You can't actually start trading until you're 18. But prior to that, I was following my favorite stocks and tracking them. And then I knew once I got into college that my undergraduate career, I wanted to do finance. So took that route, took all the classes, got my core, went into finance, and ultimately got my focus. I graduated with a business degree with a focus in finance. And then I really wanted to take a deeper dive into it. Your undergraduate degree gives you that good high-level overview, and it teaches you, okay, these are the things to look for. But in order to really get into the weeds, you need to go a little bit higher up in your academic career.
Right.
So this one I was approached, and instead of taking... I still had some electives left to take before I graduated, needed to take some. And I went to the department head, and instead of taking those electives, underwater basket weaving was what I told him. I said, instead of taking some of these electives equivalent to, underwater basket weaving that won't help me in the future, that's not going to help me in any way now or in the future, can I take some master level classes? I would really like to look at pursuing my master's. Can I take these classes now? It would be great if these could count towards my master's, but at the very least, I could get some experience in these higher level classes instead of just taking an elective. And he kind of looked at me and said, I think that's a really, really good idea. I've never been asked that question before. He said, we are working on this new program, though, where you go from your undergraduate, and it's kind of similar to what you're talking about. You don't really take those electives that are, for lack of a better word, meaningless.
Right.
And... You can take those electives and transfer into your master's program directly into it. It kind of shortens the program up because you're taking those electives. Well, I had already finished my was basically done with my undergraduate career, but he said, let's try it out, and you'll be the first one to go through it. I can't promise you that those electives will count towards ultimately your graduate degree, but it's like you said, it'll be better than taking some of those others. In worst case, you'll get some good experience out of it. And so we agreed to it, signed some forms. And I was off, and I got a call about 6 months later from him, and he said, Desmond, congratulations. We got those classes passed as far as the working it in, and you're going to be on your way to your master's. I haven't already that core and building off of it with these electives that you wanted to take as part of the master's program. And I was just thrilled. I really was. I was happy with it, happy with my decision, and it was a little bit of a gamble, but it paid off. It was an educated yes.
All right, so you went on, you got your MS in finance from UNC Wilmington, correct? So you finished school, you got that behind you. Did you go straight into the family business at CLC, or did you bounce around a little bit?
No, so I wanted to experiment in this world first because, like I said earlier, they expose you, predispose you to the corporate side, but they don't expose you to the financial planning, wealth management side of it, which is a lot more client-focused. You're actually seeing people versus just being behind a computer analyzing, numbers. So I got a good introduction to a gentleman who has a larger firm in Wilmington, has around $100 million or so under management, and came to him really with humility and just said, hey, instead of would you give me the chance to just work under you for a while, a year or so, and see how if this is something that I like, see if this is something that I would like to go into. And he kind of hesitated at first and was he's thinking his way through it. And I just said, you know, I'm not asking to be paid. I'm not asking for a paid internship. I really want to just pick your brain and see if this is something I want to do, you know, from the beginning, or do I need to go this other route before I lead into it? And he at the time was taking his daughter on as well, who was coming into the firm. And so he kind of had a lot on his plate, and he was still growing the firm and everything, but he agreed to it. And my first day there, he gives me access to a few things and just says, you know, familiarize yourself with the system. And it was nothing I had ever seen before. It was just, you know, you're doing something totally different than the in the weeds on security. You're analyzing more models. You know, you have people involved, and these people have different risk tolerances. These people have, you know, emotions a lot of times. And so you, that people aspect of it is a whole nother dynamic than just looking at, you know, numbers and then calculating the most efficient. You know, you have this efficient frontier and all this in finance.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden over here, you have this unknown variable, which is the person. And I remember going to him and saying, he would come back with this, and it, you know, the person would be really risk averse. In other words, they didn't like it, or they would have inherited a certain stock from their family. Well, you know, me looking at that stock, analyzing it, I'm like, you know, this company doesn't necessarily look the best. But this person inherited this from maybe their grandmother. And so you had that emotion involved in it, which was completely new to me.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot there. And then eventually he let me sit into some meetings with him where I could actually, you know, hear these people, hear their stories, hear their background, what they were trying to accomplish. And then that gave me that whole other outlook of, okay, I understand this now. You know, you have this person who is trying to achieve retirement and trying to do it efficiently. But at the end of the day, you know, when a person opens up a statement that they get, they can only stomach so much. And then he started doing these workshops and things for retirees. And it was a whole nother, again, you know, having people come out, teaching them classes. And this really started to resonate and grow. And at that point, I knew that this was something that I wanted to do, because you're teaching people, you're helping people, and you're achieving their goals. And you're not just sitting behind a desk all day, you know, analyzing numbers, trying to put out recommendations on stocks. You're actually using this and making real differences that you can see in people's lives. And so from that point forward, this was just something that I wanted to do, and jumped right into it and wanted to really be different in the marketplace. And so coming in from an understanding of all the fundamentals and all the basics and all of those financial instruments, you know, options and things that I got from my background, getting my master's into it, I knew that going in to the financial world and actually being people facing from a young age could be extremely beneficial. One, most financial advisors are older. Most financial planners are older. So they are going to retire at some point. And then who's going to fulfill their place? Luckily here at the firm that we work for, some of these guys have been here for 50 plus years. So we can lean on them on that experience, right? There's a lot of experience in somebody who's been through these turbulent times in the marketplace. So we can lean on them, but ultimately, just like everybody else, they're going to retire. So we pride ourselves here on having a younger generation around that can then seamlessly take over this from the older generation. You know, we're still building our block and building clients and everything, but and leaning on them for expertise. But we're also building our own core here of transition. And starting from a young age just gives you a lot of experience. Most of the guys in our firm have been doing this most of their lives. They started in their 20s doing it. Financial planning. You know, my dad, for example, he's 75, and he's been doing this. The firm is now almost 50 years old. Well, that was 25 when he got into it.
Yeah.
A few of the other, even the people who's transitioned here from the Army, Tate Warren, for example, he's been doing this for nearly 30 years. So finding the right financial planner, I don't think is necessarily about the age. It's about the experience that they can lean on. And then for you as a person, is that going to be somebody that's going to follow through with you through your retirement? For me, I can say for most of my clients, you know, knock on wood here, that I will follow through with their retirement plan. I can lean on the others and their expertise. But from me being the younger generation, I will be able to follow through and see them through retirement. They won't change hands where they would see at another firm, you know, somebody who's a lot older. They may change advisors two or three times.
That's definitely a benefit.
Yes. It's something that we think is a huge benefit for the clients, and that we like to lean on those, again, lean on those, the expertise of the older gentlemen here and ladies, but they can come to us and say, okay, you know, what new tools? It's like having a younger doctor, right? You have those older doctors who, you know, they've seen how many patients code, right? You know, and they can maybe get that, you know, do things and have that experience of, okay, this is what you need to do in this situation. But those younger doctors come in and they just got out of school and they're like, you know, this is the technology that's coming along over here. We can do this, you know, these new, you know, maybe, you know, pacemakers or what have you. We can use these instruments and we've just been trained on them. Now we know we need your experience, but you know, look at how we can use this to better, and I'll be your doctor for, you know, I'll be your primary care doctor for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we do a take on it. And I just knew coming into it that we can make a real difference just from that standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have the benefit of both having someone young with a different perspective, but also, you know, for anybody that's like, I just don't know what it's going to be like working with somebody so young to build out my retirement and my future. But to your point, company's been around for almost 50 years now. There's a lot of experience. A lot of people have seen a lot of things. So even if you don't have this specific answer, or you don't have that experience of a certain event to fall back on, there's somebody around you that you can lean on. So it's a big part of what you do at CLC. Last thing on the business side, just tell me what you enjoy the most about the job that you do.
I love facing, being people facing. That was the reason I got into this. Like I said, going, you know, the corporate route versus going this route, is that I get to be in front of people. I get to see the difference that I am making and ultimately help individuals and see that through, and knowing that I'm the one that's going to see it through and not, you know, okay, well, I'm going to help you on this part and then passing it on to someone else. So that's really my goal, and what I try to do. I'm a part of the Douglas Byrd Academy of Finance here in Fayetteville, promoting financial literacy, hold workshops for retirees, Methodists, and FTCC. We've also done some capstone projects with FSU and Campbell University, trying to help the people there graduating with their MBAs, their Masters in Business Administration, their final projects. So really, you know, my passion is being people facing and being active in the community. And it's something that I can do here in Fayetteville that I could not do at a larger firm or even in a larger city.
All right. Well, that's a perfect segue then to talking a little bit more about you. We'll get away from the business for a minute. You got four locations. You're based in Fayetteville, but you have offices in Wilmington, Elizabethtown, and Lumberton. You talked about, you know, being part of that community. What does Fayetteville mean to you? What do you enjoy most about being a part of that community?
So Fayetteville has a unique demographic. Fayetteville is a unique town. It's a military town. It's not necessarily a destination town, but it's a good community, and there's a lot of growth potential here. One of the things that just happened here that I'm really excited about is the Cape Fear Valley and Methodists are actually partnering to have a med school here. Oh, cool. Which will, you know, inevitably put us, I think, a part of the Triangle region. We were only, you know, 45 minutes an hour away from Raleigh, put us close to closer and incorporate us into that Duke Chapel Hill, you know, region that they call the Research Triangle. So the growth potential is one. The other real thing that I saw when I came here was a need for good financial planning, financial literacy. Fayetteville can, in some parts, be an underserved community. So coming here, there's a good aspect of helping the community and able to be involved into something that is growing. You know, there's a 500,000 people here in the metro, but how many of those people actually have the financial literacy or have the financial know-how to achieve or even go down and, you know, not getting taken advantage of from an interest rate standpoint at a car dealership?
Yeah.
So promoting that in the area is growing, and it's also, you know, it's a close drive to Raleigh, close drive to the beach. I like the mountains. My girlfriend likes the beach, and so it's a good halfway point. We're about, you know, 2 hours from the beach, about 3 hours from the mountains. So location wise, it's great, and we can also, it's a growing area, and the people here, you know, you can really come in and start not only a business, but an educational and learning environment that you can cultivate and really, like I said, being a part of the Academy, Douglas Byrd Academy of Finance, that's not something that I found in Wilmington, is that they even have that. Right. So I really cleaned to that when I chose Fayetteville.
Yeah, North Carolina it's a great state. There's a lot to do, and Fayetteville is right there in the middle of it. So that's pretty cool. All right, away from work. I know you're dedicated. You devote a lot of your time to finance and helping people in that capacity. But what does a weekend look like for you typically? I mean, are you still grinding it out in the office or on your email, or do you get away and find some break from that?
I never get away from my email.
I never get away from my email.
Yeah, and my phone. You know, always on that, answering calls or emails. But on the weekend, so also have a family pecan orchard.
Oh, nice.
About 150 acres. I got a few thousand pecan trees there, and it was something that my father started because it was originally family land. I lived in Elizabethtown in the actual city, and he was looking to move from that area. And he was looking at a bunch of different places, Fayetteville actually being one of them, Wilmington being one of them. We had offices, you know, either at the time. But he wanted to move back and get closer to his roots. And so he decided to move back where the blueberry farm was. But he knew he didn't want to do blueberries because that's, you know, if you're doing something as a you know, growing up and you absolutely hate it, you just can't, you know, you're like, I'm never going back to blueberries again.
Yeah.
So, but he knew he wanted to do something and make the land useful. So he decided to plant pecan trees. I think he did a lot of research on pecans, and it was primarily, you think of pecans, you think of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't too many in North Carolina at the time. And, you know, we have hurricanes, so growing trees in the second or third most hurricane prone state. It was a challenge, but so far, 15, 20 years later, we've been through Florence, Matthew, a few of those hurricanes, and we're still standing strong. But on the weekend, you can catch me at the pecan orchard. I've been doing that probably, if there's 52 weekends out of the year, I'll probably be there 45. Wow. And I've been doing that for the past 15 years.
I love that. Blueberries, pecan. You guys probably have a pretty nice little spread at the holidays, right? A couple of nice pies.
Pecan
around.
Pie, oh yeah. Yeah, and yeah. I love you know, cobblers too. Yeah, especially some blueberry cobbler.
Sounds so good. All right, let's finish things off by talking about the show a little bit. What we can have people expect to come, and what we're going to discuss here on the show, and maybe who will get some value out of watching and listening to Riverbank Riches. So, what do you hope people will get out of watching us and listening to us? You know, every episode.
Yeah. So our main core focus is retirees, helping people navigate what we call, you know, you go through accumulation phase and then you go through the distribution phase, what we call the distribution phase. So what I hope people to get out of this is one, not just when you think of retirement, not just think of retirement as a number you have to achieve, but thinking of retirement of how do I generate income once I retire? I have all of these decisions that I have to make. I have Social Security. I have income generation. I have legacy planning. I have to figure out to take this number or this nest egg, what I call my retirement, and generate an income off of it, and do it tax efficiently. And like we mentioned earlier, the decisions that you make can cost you, you know, taxes will be the number one expense in your retirement. So how do you do it tax efficiently? So I hope people really, you know, can learn how to change and how to think about retirement, not just from where's everything invested at, but how do I start drawing off of these investments now? We're going to have a lot of guests on here too. We're a holistic firm here at CLC. So we don't just do investments and retirement planning. We also do, we talked about business continuity. We'll talk about succession planning. We can talk about Medicare. We have some great Medicare, Medicaid specialists here. Health insurance. So we, as a firm, we specialize individually in very specific things, but we have some great guys who's been in the industry a long time that can really come in as some guest speakers and talk about retirement. And it's an added benefit that I think we also offer as from a firm is when you come here, you know, we really pride ourselves as you don't have to go to five different places. We do a great job, you know, managing somebody through their retirement here.
Great. Well, we hope this show will kind of give you a little look inside of that comprehensive approach that they take at CLC Financial, and hopefully you'll learn and answer some questions that maybe you have about certain aspects of your retirement and your financial plan along the way. Who is the ideal client then and the ideal listener for the show?
The ideal listener is somebody who is getting close to retirement or getting serious about their retirement.
All right. Well, look, if you have any questions for Desmond, a couple ways to get in touch. First, clcfinancial.com. That is the website. Phone number, 910-323-5700. Get in touch either way. Again, they have four offices, so whatever is most convenient for you. Hopefully be able to service you in one of those locations. But we got a lot coming up. So subscribe to the show wherever it is you listen. And we got plenty more coming up with Desmond Taylor. And I'm looking forward to it, Desmond, especially with people we'll get to talk and meet and some of the things we'll learn along the way. So thanks for your time today, and we'll talk again soon.
Yep. Thanks, Ben.
Securities and advisory services offered through Creative One Securities, LLC member, FINRA, SIPC, and an investment advisor. CLC Financial Services, LLC, and Creative One Securities, LLC are not affiliated. Licensed insurance professional, we are an independent financial services firm helping individuals create retirement strategies using a variety of investment and insurance products to custom suit their needs and objectives. This material has been prepared for informational and educational purposes only. It is not intended to provide and should not be relied upon for accounting, legal, tax, or investment advice. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. Insurance and annuity products are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. We are not affiliated with any government agency.